for Outdoors and Western Lifestyle, The Bend Show. I am your host, Rebecca Wanner, a.k.a. Beck, and I say this all the time. You can get a hold of us anytime, that is. Call or text 305-900-2363. Again, that's 305-900-2363. Or you can always email bendradioshow@gmail.com. And Ryan Long Shotgun, as always, is my co-host and producer, Jeff Tigger Earhart.
And producer.
Yes, I gave you back that title. You're the magic man.
It's been 5.5 years, dear.
I know. Well, hey, I haven't fired you yet.
Yet.
All right, so here is how it is. For all of you that have been wanting to catch up on what Tigger and I have been up to.
We did a thing.
We mentioned probably a month or so ago, maybe more than that, that we were considering purchasing our first Class C motorhome. And it has happened. Yes, it's parked out in front of the house.
Notice I'm quiet.
Okay, I'm going to be honest. Tigger took one for the team on this one. He was kind of more so like being more responsible, going, Beck, let's just wait. Let's check into the fifth wheels. Let's just really weigh out our options. And me, I've been dreaming about driving one of these Class C motorhomes for years. And I said, let's do it.
Well, I think what happens is you join a lot of these Facebook groups to learn, right? And you end up joining 15 different ones. And there are a lot of Facebook groups when it comes to RVs.
Absolutely.
I mean, RV hacks, RVs for beginners, something just special for Class Cs, gadgets, and all of this stuff. So I think what kind of scared me a little bit was reading all of the negative, like this could go wrong and that could go wrong. But, you know, because Beck smiled so nice, then I wrote the check.
You could not say no to these eyes.
Of course I couldn't.
But, you know, you are right, Tigger, because you and I are both in many, many groups, especially when it's into topics and things that we want to spend our dollars on because we're very savvy with our money. We are.
And so we bought an RV. Well, that's how savvy we are, y'all.
Okay, but we've been shopping, or else I've been shopping for a Class C motorhome for like 5+ years, okay?
And the reason that we were looking at this was we were looking at taking the show on the road because we travel so much and we have to do so much prep work to get our shows done, to be able to, you know, go somewhere on vacation. You know what they say, that a lot of people don't even go on vacation because it's twice as much work just to try to get the time off, right? So we were, could we take the show on the road, and kind of got to the point where, and I think the big reason, why we did this is we just had to try.
Get our feet wet.
We absolutely just had to say, you know what? We just got to try. It was priced right. I mean, we can turn around and sell the thing and get absolutely every dollar back out of it, but we just had to try to see what it was like.
Absolutely. And you know, we went into this knowing that it's going to cost us a little more money to upfront customizing, making sure it's got everything, even just the basics with it that we would need. But that's okay, because it opened up our eyes to a whole different world. You've owned a fifth wheel before. Mm-hmm. I have never owned a camper, but I've camped a lot in other people's campers. But there's a difference when you don't own it, right? Yeah, it's kind of like a boat, right? You try to find a friend that's got a boat versus owning a boat.
Exactly, yeah.
Now, that is one thing that has come to light in our eyes, because I think a lot of folks overlook that buying an RV, regardless of if it's a Class C motorhome like ours, a Class A, or if it is a, you know, like
travel,
we said,
trailer,
fifth wheel travel trailer, these are not an asset that are going to technically appreciate in value. They're kind of like a boat, right? They're going to need maintenance. They're going to need love.
That's
There's
the thing.
There's a lot to it. Be expected and understanding that these are, it's a luxury, right? It's a want versus a need.
100%. And you need to be realistic about your expectations. For example, our Class C, I thought it would get better gas mileage. I mean, let's just be honest about that. And we did the calculations and went, are you kidding me?
Right. I'm glad you brought that up.
This was epic. We didn't think it was going to cost this much to drive. What did we end up driving? 250 miles maybe when we did the whole circle last
weekend? Oh, I thought you went and you wrote it all down because I told you to journalize this.
I didn't write any of it down.
Oh, okay.
I saved
well,
the receipts.
All
for
right.
Taxes.
That is something we did find out about. We had higher expectations, for example. So our Class C, it has an E450 engine in it. It's a 32 foot, just to give you an idea.
It's a 460 engine, Beck. It's not an E450.
Oh, that's the model.
It's on an E450 chassis with a 460 engine.
Thank you for the clarification.
That's why I'm in charge.
Oh my gosh. But yes, that was one thing we were surprised, because like with how ours is set up, for example, it has a 55-gallon gas tank on it that, yes, supplies the engine, but also supplies the generator so that we can boondock. And when we did the math on how many hours we ran on the generator plus with the miles, it came out to right around 6.4 miles a gallon.
Exactly.
And that is it.
And we were surprised of how much fuel that onboard generator took. That was number one surprise. Number two was, and this just isn't for a Class C, this is for anybody camping anywhere. We had found you were actually filling it up with fuel, and you were filling the propane, I think, right?
When I
did you went
both.
In town. And there was another couple there doing the same thing. And he said, oh, here is a little honey hole not a lot of people know about. There shouldn't be a lot of people out there. It's a great place to boondock and try it for the first time. So we did. And he said, that was a little drive on gravel. And, you know, we live on gravel, not a big deal, but it was 10 miles of gravel and really, really bad gravel.
I mean, talking washboards.
This was some of the worst that we've ever been on. So if you are planning on boondocking something like that, and do a little research ahead of time of just, can I maneuver whatever I am driving and or pulling into said camping area? Because you might get in, especially like if we were pulling a vehicle or towing a little Jeep or something behind it, we would have gotten into positions where like, uh-oh, now what are we going to do? Do we got to back this thing out a mile to try to turn around?
Absolutely. And here's the other thing to think about. Tigger mentioned, we live on gravel, no gravel roads, very, very well. However, we found out real quick that some of these, because we ended up checking a couple of different off-the-radar little hidden gems, as you might call it, and they required several miles of gravel roads, but these were not well-maintained. They had
right.
extreme washboards where we're talking Tigger can only drive about 10 miles an hour, and I could just see the look on his face was, how much is this going to cost me, as our rig was just, you know, shaking and
right.
jittering, and
right.
and just all you could think of was, oh my gosh, what's going to come loose? I got to walk around this as soon as we get done just to make sure everything's still A-okay.
And I know those people that are avid RVers, they're probably laughing at us, but everybody needs to go through that first journey together as a couple too, to make sure that you can get everything the way that you need it. You understand how the machine works, you understand what fuses are where and how everything is hooked up.
How about how just to level it if you don't have automatic levelers?
Ours doesn't.
So with it being a Class C, you have to drive up on the blocks and such. Now you're wondering, clearly we survived. We're still together. We didn't kill each other just trying to get it backed in and leveled. But those are
not even close.
No, we did
not even close.
But we're used to that with stock trailers. It's just
right.
another day for us. But
yep.
for those of you looking at going into that lifestyle, just a few things to maybe try at home before you hit the road.
I think that would be the best thing, is to camp in your front yard, in the driveway, if you can plug it into the shop or something, just to get used to, okay, how does this whole thing work?
Here's my second quick tip before we take a break, and that is to, if you don't know of a local dumping station to get rid of, say, your black tank, ray tank, all of that, to understand even the flow of how you do it, go during a time, put some water in your tanks, go during a time when it's not going to be busy, even if it's the middle of the day during the week, and go practice
so
and dump
it
so that you don't feel stressed. Because we all know if you get to those national parks, some of those areas, ooh, the lines are long and they're wanting you to keep moving real fast. So that's my other little tip. Practice before you hit that road. All right, crew, we're going to take a short break. You're going to be listening to more of The Ben Show right after this. You've waited, dreamt of a hunting adventure, and now have harvested that trophy of a lifetime. Keep the memory alive with a custom-designed mount preserved as a work of art. Check out our approved taxidermist. Depending on your location, the award-winning Schneider Taxidermy is located in Helena, Montana. When hunting the Dakotas, JB's Wildlife Designs in Mandan, North Dakota, then Shadron Creek Taxidermy in Nebraska, and for the Central USA, Little Rack Taxidermy in Macomb, Illinois. Reach out to The Ben Show and let us help you find the right taxidermist.
Is there that particular pair of boots or that shirt or pair of jeans that you just can't find anywhere else? Check out Medora Boot and Western Wear. Medora Boot and Western Wear is the go-to for boots, jeans, especially jackets, and even those hard-to-find accessories that make perfect gifts. Check out MedoraBoot.com, or better yet, give Kim a call at 701-623-1005 and tell Kim that Tigger and Beck sent you. For the latest in Western and outdoor practical and fashionable wear, there is only one: Medora Boot and Western Wear.
It's rodeo time, North Dakota. Coyote Contracting and Dakota Community Bank bring you the 6th Annual Golden Valley Shootout and Wayne Herman PRCA Invitational August 16th and 17th in Golden Valley.
Bull riding,
bareback,
and saddle bronc riding.
The rankest stock, the toughest cowboys, and then it's the party in the dirt Saturday night with live music after the dust settles. Tickets on sale at the gate, Golden Valley, August 16th and 17th. Be there.
Welcome back to The Ben Show. I am your host, Rebecca Warner, a.k.a. Beck. And Ryan Long, as always, is my co-host, Jeff Tigger Earhart.
Now, you are getting packed up as we speak. You're off on another vacation, another adventure. Guess who's staying home again?
Well, somebody has to take care of. Yes, that's true. I am getting ready to head out on another trip. This one, though, is kind of special.
But this is kind of neat because you do something special for every one of your nieces and nephews when they turn a certain age.
Correct. I started this years ago. I have a lot of nephews and one niece. And so I've worked really hard to be that crazy aunt. And one of my passions, of course, is traveling. And even more so than that is flying. I love flying. And I know there's a lot of hype in the media of scary people getting nerves about flying these days. So I started this up with my brothers and their sister, my sister-in-laws, excuse me, years ago, as being the first one to take any of their kids on an airplane ride just to make sure it's a good experience. So each one of my nieces and nephews get to go on a trip somewhere once they hit the age between 9 and 12, somewhere in there. 11 seems to be the good sweet spot for maturity-wise, if you're wondering. We get to go spend a week doing something crazy with Aunt Beck.
And you're taking two of the boys, you're taking Reese and Kale, they're cousins.
Yes.
And you're taking them to Vegas?
That's right.
Who would take these kids to Vegas? No, actually, was that my idea?
It was my sister-in-law, Elizabeth.
Because it's a direct flight on Allegiant from where we're at. So you can just hop on one plane and boom, there's no connection whatsoever.
Yeah, so here's the deal. When I pick and choose where to go with the kids, I try to go somewhere where I know it will be easy flights, right? They don't get a bad or sour taste in their mouth, meaning I try to avoid where there's going to be multiple connections, those kinds of stressful things. So direct flights. Our state has very few direct flights. Excuse me. Las Vegas tends to be one of them. For those of you that don't know, I have been to Vegas a lot in my life, so I know the city really well. So I know how to keep the kids out of the parts they don't need to see. But a lot of you may not realize is Vegas is a great hub to continue on to other places. And with this trip, we're going to, of course, see the lights, have some fun in Vegas, but I'm going to rent a car and we're going to drive to Zion National Park, where I'm going to take the kids, the boys. We're going to actually hike the Narrows, which is a river.
And you did that last year with your girlfriends, right? I think we talked about it. You did that last year and you thought it was awesome.
I did that last year in October as a girls' weekend. I highly recommend it. It's less than a 3-hour drive from Vegas. And it hit me as sometimes 11-year-olds think about this, you know, their attention span isn't always so focused, right? So I thought about it. It's going to be really hot in August to go to Utah, to Zion. But yet they have a really awesome hike that's all in the river. And I thought, how much fun is that? Plus, we can rent e-bikes and see that national park on e-bike. What little boy doesn't want to go on e-bikes and ride through the park? And then we'll just spend one day so we won't overdo it. But yet they still got to see nature, get outdoors, and see one of the most well-known national parks.
And this is something that we went through and we wanted to bring up. And it doesn't matter if you're like you, where you're taking your nephews on a trip, or if you are grandma and grandpa and you've got the kids and you're going to a rodeo, or you're taking the kids to a county fair or a steer show or anything like that.
Or you're bringing along one of your kids' friends.
Or friends or something. We started going through, okay, wait a minute. We probably need something that authorizes you if there is a medical emergency. Now, thank goodness Reese and Kale are not diabetic or anything like that.
They have no known allergies. They're very healthy ranch kids.
Exactly. But what happens if one of them on your vacation, he breaks a leg, heaven forbid.
Sprains an ankle.
Or something like that where they need medical attention. And we were like, maybe we need to have some sort of an authorization that allows you to act as their guardian and proof that you are their guardian.
That's right, because times are always changing. And that's what I do love about doing this with the kids, is it makes me sit back and relook at what the rules or have in mind of what to consider before we even hit the road or hit the skies. And first thing that I was surprised is I found across the board in all my research is to make sure you have a medical authorization form for minors traveling with non-parent. And this form that I ended up creating my own, and you can look online, find lots of examples to create your own, but essentially says that yes, you are acting as that child's guardian and are able to take him into the emergency room and say, yes, please x-ray that arm or whatever might have happened in the meantime until parents can get there. Very simple, but it's just essentially making sure, I recommend Googling it, looking for a medical authorization form, again, for minors traveling with non-parent, and have that signed. But then also make sure you have a photocopy of their health insurance card. You may even want a photocopy of the parents' driver's license, one of them, just to, so you can confirm and show hospitals that, yes, this parent signed off. Here's the proof. Those kinds of items really make a difference, especially if you're needing healthcare immediately.
So obviously, Kale and Reese, and what are they, 11?
11 years old. Both of them are 11,
and they don't have a driver's license or anything like that. So do they need to have any form of ID when you go to the airport, when they go through security or anything like that? Or do you need to have some sort of a form that says you are acting as their legal guardian? How does that work?
Okay, because they're both under the age of 14, so yes, they don't have a driver's license, a driver's permit. But by the way, if you would like to get an ID for you, your kids for traveling, you can. Just go to your local DMV and say, I need to get an ID. It costs maybe $8 to $10. I highly recommend getting one.
Cool idea, though.
Yeah, very cool. If next time you go and renew your driver's license, just get one with the kids. The kid has to be with, though, by the way. But no, for flying domestically within the United States, you do not need any paperwork. However, it is highly suggested too, if you can, have a photocopy of the child's birth certificate with you, or otherwise have a paper signed by the parent stating that they acknowledge this child is traveling with you. In the past, I have never had an issue with that. I have never been asked to give anything. All the TSA agents have ever done to me in the past has asked the child, what is your name? What's your birth date? Who is this person traveling with you? And I have never had an issue.
But these are good things to bring up. Like you said, the medical authorization
form.
That's a big one. That's a big one. That's one that I would have never thought of. I think of the other side, that if you're traveling with horses or livestock, you got to have brand release and you got to make sure health papers are done and all of that, depending upon where you're traveling and in-state and out of that. But these are really good things to bring up, especially if, like you said, you're a non-parent that is traveling with the kids, doing something entertaining, and you don't want anything bad to happen, of course, but it's good just to have all of this together just in case something would ever happen.
I always look at it this way. If I have all of this paperwork with me, I feel like I'm in the good graces of those above and I'm less likely to get asked or in trouble. This has been a great conversation. Thanks for asking me those questions,
Tigger.
Well,
you're welcome, because I'm going to be back here and I'm the one making sure everybody's got their bags packed appropriately. And making sure that the little boys keep the little pocket knives at home.
That's the tough one, okay, with ranch kids.
And you too.
Yeah,
that's the same thing.
I've been caught before.
But that way I always have something to buy you at Christmas for your stocking, because you lose that same Gerber knife every single year when traveling.
Well, on that note, let's take a short break.
Yes, we shall.
You're listening to The Ben Show.
Hey guys and gals, this is John Armand with Ultimate Outdoor Adventures TV. Ultimate Outdoor Adventures TV travels the back roads to the backwaters in pursuit of the ultimate adventure in hunting and fishing. Join Team UOA every week for exciting action in the crosshairs of the outdoors. Catch Ultimate Outdoor Adventures TV on YouTube, Amazon Prime, and make sure to follow Team UOA on Facebook and Instagram to share in the ultimate outdoor adventure.
The hunt, the stories, the memories. This is Jake Fenrick with JB's Wildlife Designs. Let me capture and preserve that hunt, that story, that memory with a trophy mount to last you a lifetime. Look us up on Facebook at JB's Wildlife Designs to see samples of our taxidermy and reach out at any time with any and all questions you may have. This is Jake Fenrick with JB's Wildlife Designs. Taxidermy is my passion. Let me preserve yours.
This is Beck. First, I appreciate all of you for listening and making The Bend part of your week. Many of you have asked, how do I catch past episodes? The answer is super easy. Head to thebendshow.com and click on the Shows tab. There you can listen to every episode all the way back to episode one. Podcasters, head to your favorite podcasting app and search The Bend. You'll find us. Be sure to follow and subscribe and never miss another episode again. Welcome back to The Ben Show. Florida's battle against the Burmese python just got fluffy. Researchers from the University of Florida have deployed 40 robotic rabbits across South Florida in what I'm going to say an innovative and maybe slightly adorable effort to lure and trap invasive pythons. These furry decoys aren't your average toy bunnies, though. Outfitted with tiny heaters and motors, they spin, shake, and even mimic the body heat of real marsh rabbits, one of the python's favorite snacks.
So this is a robotic rabbit.
Yes, a robotic rabbit. This high-tech project is built on more than a decade of research, going back to a 2012 study that proved just how quickly pythons hunt real rabbits. But using live animals is labor-intensive. Enter the robo-rabbits, solar-powered, remotely controlled, and strategically placed in python hotspots. Cameras track snake activity and researchers are alerted when one slithers in. So, my question, how much is this rabbit revolution costing? Get this, about $200,000 funded through state and research grants.
To go into robotic rabbits.
Yes.
When rabbits are the most prolific mammal that exists on planet Earth, we have an abundance and an endless supply of rabbits. Of bait, if you will, and we're going to throw money at a solar-powered, what did you say? They've got a little heater and they mimic a rabbit's movements?
Everything down to body temperature, because that's one of the ways these pythons detect where our fluffy little critters are at.
Why are you doing a story about this? Everybody knows that you cannot handle snakes. You can't even handle a picture of a snake or even mention a snake.
I can't handle snakes, period. And here's my other issue with this, because like I said, they figure about $200,000 has been spent on this, and they've been dealing with research for over 10 years. I don't understand why this would be thought as an actual great idea versus instead promoting the hunting and capitalizing on that of pythons, because we looked into this a little bit, and yes, pythons are hunted year round, okay?
In Florida.
In Florida, yes. Now you have to ethically, you know, take care of them when you kill them. I mean,
when you harvest them?
Yes, you can haul them home and do it. They have to. You have to do it right there at where you found them. But
don't they have a python challenge, like a hunting competition, kind of like a snake hunt type deal?
The Florida Python Challenge actually just wrapped up a little over a week ago. And in this challenge, this is how big it was. They had 933 registered participants coming from U.S. and Canada.
I just looked this up when you were talking about this. Over 30 states were represented.
Yeah.
People from 30 different states went to Florida for this python snake hunt.
And
that's
had
kind of BA crew.
Get this. They had $25,000 in prize money on the table. So there ended up being, if you're wondering how many of these Burmese pythons were removed, they were able to harvest 195 of these pythons, with the first place going to an individual that ended up taking out 20 alone by himself. So I'm just sitting here looking at the dollars, okay? How can you not look at how maybe your money's being spent? I don't know. Let's try and promote maybe going down there to do some python hunting.
I would imagine that you are not going to be on the top of that list, babe.
That's all for this week, folks. And remember, keep sending us in your questions, anything spot-worthy we should share. And especially if you've got a recipe that is, I don't know, it's become your go-to this camping season.
We haven't done recipes for a long time. We haven't gotten the Dutch ovens out or the hibachi. We haven't experimented.
I want to know, what is your favorite summer barbecuing recipe? Send it my way. You can call or text 305-900-2363. Again, 305-900-2363. Or feel free to email bendradioshow@gmail.com. And if you missed part of this episode or want to hear past shows, you can find them all on our website, thebendshow.com. Be sure to subscribe on your favorite podcasting app and to The Bend Show YouTube channel. Finally, a big thanks to all of you listeners out there that came along. Whether you're coming or going today, though, stay with us as we ranch it up. And remember to keep up with me back all week long by following The Bend on Facebook and on Instagram at The Bend Show. This is Rebecca Warner. Catch back if you can next week on The Bend.